From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Washington seeks to reassure Baghdad. U.S. Vice President Joe Biden telephoned Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi Monday, thanking Iraqi forces for their enormous sacrifice and bravery against Islamic State militants. Sunday, Defense Chief Ashton Carter said the Iraqi forces retreated from Ramadi last week because they had no will to fight. Stephen Zunis is a regional analyst with the University of San Francisco.
Unfortunately, what the Secretary of Defense said was pretty accurate. The Iraqi armed forces certainly were not up to the task in Ramadi. This has been a problem ever since the Bush administration decided to abolish the Iraqi army, which was a professional force, a secular nationalist bastion in that country, despite the abuses by the former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein.
Speaking to the BBC Monday, Prime Minister Abadi called Mr. Carter's comment about Iraqi forces misguided and said Ramadi would be retaken in days, not weeks. More anti-government protests erupted across Burundi Monday. The opposition quit UN-brokered peace talks after the leader of the opposition UPD party, Zedi Feruzi, and his bodyguard were killed in a shooting Saturday. The U.S. condemned the killings and urged Burundian authorities to arrest the perpetrators and protect other lawmakers. The Burundi crisis began last month when President Pierre Nkurunziza announced he would run for a controversial third term. This protester says he's against a third term, saying the killings of protesters and opposition politicians must stop. More than 20 have died in clashes between police and protesters since late last month. More than 100,000 Burundians have fled to neighboring countries. This is VOA News. A Tunisian soldier opened fire on his fellow troops Monday, killing at least 7, wounding 10, before he himself was shot dead. Authorities said the attack occurred at a base in Tunis, not far from where two Islamist gunmen opened fire on tourists at the Bardo National Museum in March, killing 21. Washington Post reporter Jason Rezaian goes on trial in Tehran Tuesday on charges of spying at a court that will be closed to the public, press, and family. Rezaian, arrested last July, has been in prison since. Jason's brother Ali spoke out about the trial Monday.
Having a secret trial, a closed trial, it just shows how scared the Iranians are to show that there's evidence. I think they're embarrassed by the evidence they have. They've gone along with this sham for the last 10 months, and now they're going to have a trial, and they want to keep it as closed as possible so there's less information for people to say, why have you held this person? He's totally innocent.
The charges against Rezaian are vague, and no one has said exactly on what or for whom he's accused of spying. Washington Post executive editor Martin Barron calls the case shameful and absurd and said the judge assigned to the case is a notorious human rights violator. Sunni militia fighters in Yemen dealt a blow to Shia Houthi rebels Monday, seizing key military sites in the southern city of Daleh. Meanwhile, there's been no let-up in the Saudi-led airstrikes Monday across Yemen. Yemeni and UN officials say a peace conference scheduled for Thursday has been postponed. Violent storms raged Monday across the Mexico-Texas border, killing at least 11, injuring dozens and flattening homes. Searchers in Texas continue to look for a dozen people believed to have been swept away by flash floods. Ken Bell is the San Marcos Fire Marshal.
Searching is going to be suspended, but rescue operations are going to remain at the ready.
Flooding has left at least 3 dead, destroyed hundreds of homes in Texas and Oklahoma. A fire at a Chinese nursing home killed nearly 40 people and injured 6. The fire broke out late Monday at a privately run facility in Henan Province, the cause unclear. In 2013, 11 residents of a nursing home died when a disgruntled resident set fire to the rest home in the country's northeast. Suspected al-Shabaab militants ambushed Kenyan policemen late Monday in northeast Garissa County, where nearly 150 students were massacred by the Somali-based fighters last month. Reports indicate at least 20 of the policemen may have been killed. In Nigeria, fuel wholesalers say they've reached agreement with government to resume fuel distribution, ending a crisis that brought airlines, banks, and phone companies to a standstill. They had stopped distributing fuel, saying the government owed them $1 billion, but government officials said the wholesalers had been paid in full. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Coming